Support for WPR comes from Lawrence University in Appleton, a national liberal arts college and conservatory, offering an engaging global education with funding for internships, research, study abroad, and more. Lawrence.edu.
Support for WPR comes from Isthmus Partners, an asset management firm providing comprehensive financial planning and tailored investment solutions for long-term growth and capital preservation. More at IsthmusPartnersLLC.com.
We will examine this week's election results through a media coverage lens during this edition of On the Campaign Trail, with a special focus on the role conservative talk radio played in the outcome. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, April 7th. So, what role did conservative talk radio play in Ted Cruz's victory in Wisconsin's Republican presidential primary? Both of our guests are going to say quite a bit. And we'll wonder what you think, what questions you have. Why do you suppose that is? And do you have any other thoughts on media coverage in general of the election this week? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have two guests with us during this hour. First, Jessica McBride. Coming up in our second half, Tony Palmieri will join us. Jessica McBride is a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com. Her recent piece, Five Takeaways from Wisconsin's Presidential Primary, included a bit on talk radio's influence. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. So in your piece, you wrote about your five takeaways from the primary, but you said one of them is that talk radio really can move votes in Wisconsin. How do you figure?
Well, I mean, if you look at the map of the counties of the state and you look to see where Cruz did really, really well and where he really started to pull away from Donald Trump, and if you were to put over that map an outlay or overlay of the talk radio reach and its listening audience, I mean, it's almost exact. It's a really dramatic sort of fault line in the state. What conservatives haven't managed to do yet is to get strong conservative talk radio in northwestern Wisconsin, which, by the way, I grew up in. I grew up there in Rusk County. We didn't have such a thing. They really don't now, not to the same degree. And also in the western part of the state, in, say, La Crosse and that area. So what Cruz did is he drove up the numbers dramatically in what obviously they call the wow counties of Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington. And then he did very well up into the valley. What's interesting is if you look at that map, like literally in the areas where their megaphone is strongest, like he did best. In the wow counties, he broke 60%, Ted Cruz, I mean, and there was almost exactly, and this was kind of interesting, a 39% margin in each of the three wow counties for Ted Cruz. And then as you move up into the Fox Valley, where they do have talk radio reach, and they've got a guy named Jerry Bader, who is like railing on Trump too, Cruz's margin shrinks, but it's still pretty significant, 11%, 12% margin. Then you go over to Northwest, you go over to the western area of the state, and Trump starts to win. And so you've got all these counties going Trump. So if you just look at the map geographically, I think it's pretty stark. Now, I don't think talk radio did this all by themselves. I think they were clearly a factor in driving out the Cruz vote in the populous, you know, counties for Republicans, but they didn't do this alone.
Well, right, and we can talk about some of that too. But I'm just following up on the counties around Milwaukee, the wild counties are conservative to begin with. Do you think that the talk show hosts changed anybody's minds to vote for Cruz or just reinforce their listeners? Okay.
Yes, I actually do, because you have to remember that, and it's sort of hard to remember, his narrative's changed so fast, but a month ago, you know, Cruz wasn't, you know, beloved by any means. by a lot of Republican voters, but also certainly by what is now being called the Republican establishment. You know, you had Governor Walker, legislative leaders and so forth in Wisconsin who were supporting Marco Rubio, and you had talk show hosts, you know, a month ago speaking far more fondly of Marco Rubio. So what talk radio did is they created a narrative. And they did this in unison. It wasn't just one of them, which is important. You know, it was Sykes, it was Belling, it was Weber, it was McKenna, and up in the valley it was Jerry Bader. You know, and a relentless, I would say, sort of endless daily narrative that you usually see them direct against, you know, Jim Doyle or Tom Barrett or, you know, Joanne Kloppenberg or a Democrat. And it was directed against Trump, and it was that Trump's a fake, that he's not really a Republican, that he's a charlatan, that he's a snake oil salesman. And what they did differently here than in other states is they managed to rally the opposition to Trump around a single candidate, you know, obviously Ted Cruz, because then they were relentlessly and sort of consistently pushing out the narrative, you want to stop Trump, vote for Cruz. So, and they did this every day, like... I turn on Charlie Sykes sometimes when I'm driving to UWM, and I turn on, see what he's talking about, and he was railing on Trump every time I did that, or when I did that, or whatever day I did that. Like, it was sort of like devoting their entire shows to this. I'm going to tell you a quick anecdote that I think shows you the power of this. One day I was sitting in a cafe in Heartland, just eating breakfast or whatnot, and I see this coffee clutch of older retired men. You know, they go to cafes and they talk about the news and they chew the fat. And they were talking about Charlie Sykes and basically just repeating what they, you know, hear on his show. But what was interesting to me is that they talk about him like he's news. So to a lot of people that out here, that's their news source. Yeah. And they see it as such. Well, that's where they get their news.
And in an article in the New York Times, Charlie Sykes was asked if someone could win without talk radio. And he said, theoretically, he or she can, but nobody has. Is that how you see it?
Well, I mean, it depends on, I guess, which type of a race you're talking about. I mean, in Milwaukee County, Scott Walker, two of his judicial appointments went down, you know, uh-huh. Bob Donovan was the talk radio favorite. That's within the media market or the reach of Charlie Sykes. And in the Milwaukee mayor's race, he was absolutely blown out by Tom Barrett. So, like, there's a limit when you look geographically at which kind of a race it is and where it is. But I think they can break the back of a Republican candidate in a primary and perhaps in a, you know, in a statewide primary, as we're seeing. So they're most powerful in a Republican primary, quite clearly, although they've exerted their muscle in statewide races with Walker. If you think about it, the route they went in, like, the state Supreme Court race and the primary for Cruz, in a sense, kind of mirrors how they get Walker elected, which is use a drive-out-the-turnout strategy. It's not about reaching across the aisle, building bridges, except it's about ginning up by finding sort of a wedge or a foil to sort of emotionally gin up, in my opinion, the turnout in the Wild Counties.
Yeah, and didn't Sykes had Trump on and really beat him up, didn't he?
Yes, it didn't go well. I was thinking about that, you know, what were Trump's people thinking, actually? I mean, they kind of built Sykes into more of a national figure than he'd been before. And Trump was, seemed to me, just terribly unprepared when I listened to that. He seemed like he was winging it. There were sort of obvious ways he could have sort of gone after Sykes on certain things. For example, he's brought up repeatedly that he would nominate Diane Sykes to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is Charlie's ex-wife. Like, there were just sort of obvious things he could have brought up but didn't, because he seemed sort of woefully unprepared for the fact that Charlie Sykes is a never-Trumper and that this wasn't going to be a favorable interview. But I think we need to also step back and say it wasn't only talk radio that was operating here. And they were sort of all operating symbiotically. There's the big donor stuff, for one. I mean, let me give you an example. So I live in Waukesha County. I get this flyer in my mailbox. It's a multi-part, slick, anti-Trump direct mail piece. Every time I turn on my television, there's an anti-Trump add. There's this super PAC that was spending heavily in the state, the Club for Growth, the big money conservative interests who don't want Trump decided Wisconsin is the place where we're going to stop him and send this to a brokered convention, which is still not certain, but it's more likely now. And this was even stated in the New York Times about 2 days before everybody fell in line, including Scott Walker, and started endorsing Cruz. And they said, we need to rally around Cruz. And the New York Times article said they were going to put at least $2 million into this state, the donors, and special interests and dark money groups. And I saw it. I mean, I saw it in my mailbox. I saw it on my television. I saw it on social media where sort of endless ads were coming through, like my news feed targeted to people in this geographic area. They did it in the state Supreme Court race as well to support Rebecca Bradley. The direct mail pieces are the kinds of things you don't always visibly see, too.
Yeah.
And
let
so
me
there
you there,
a lot of money.
Jessica, thank you. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will be back continuing our talk about the influence of conservative talk radio in Wisconsin's primary. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is On the Campaign Trail on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and during this edition of On the Campaign Trail, we are talking about the influence of conservative talk radio in Wisconsin's election results this week, but talking about the media's role in politics in general as well. Welcoming your thoughts, your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest in this half is Jessica McBride, a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com. Her recent piece, Five Takeaways from Wisconsin's Presidential Primary, included a bit on talk radio's influence. And speaking of conservative talk radio in the Milwaukee area, Governor Walker appeared on Charlie Sykes' show yesterday to talk about the election results. And they discussed the fact that Donald Trump attacked or criticized Governor Walker during the campaign, and that may not have been the smartest thing for Trump to do.
What I thought about is just in Green Bay a couple times this week, it would have been like coming into Lambeau Field and taking a whack not only at Aaron Rodgers, but it would be even taking a whack, even though he's been gone for a while, at someone like Brett Favre. You know, as much as some of us were frustrated when he went to the Vikings, in the end, he's still a Packer. We loved him when he came back last year. That would have been like having somebody coming in and not getting it and coming in and somehow attacking Brett Favre in Lambeau Field in Green Bay. It just would not have worked.
So, Jessica, do you think the governor's right?
Well, Brett Favre, I mean, is Walker going to go to Minnesota? And maybe some people are hoping, right? I mean, it was, even conservatives, I know, were laughing about that analogy on Facebook last night. In a GOP primary, though, it's important to remember that the governor hasn't lost a lot of support. I think the polls show him with roughly, 75% of Republicans still like him. I mean, his problem is that he's lost most of independents, and all Democrats, for the most part, like don't like him and hate him. So for a statewide election of his own, I think that puts him in peril. Of course, we have to remember we're talking about a GOP primary here. I wanted to mention, though, the origins of the power of conservative talk radio, because I think it might be interesting for your listeners. I first saw this power to sort of be the kingmakers, to move the electorate in this way, in the Milwaukee County pension scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really where Charlie Sykes in particular kind of built his power. And he was actually leading the rallies. Of course, if your listeners remember this, it was Milwaukee County Executive Tom Ament and some of his administrators stood to get multimillion-dollar pension payouts on the taxpayer dime. And this wasn't broken by talk radio, but they played a very important role in pushing the recall movement against the county board and so forth. And
which
so
resulted in the election of County Executive Scott Walker?
Exactly, and mm-hmm. I think you could argue that is why he's governor today.
Right.
So talk radio has always been, especially Charlie Sykes, very symbiotic with the establishment in Wisconsin, especially the Walker regime and Walkerites, I would say. And that all came together here. I mean, I think that is important to remember that, you know, Trump was sort of being hit on all fronts by the establishment donors, talk radio, the establishment politicians. And what Trump does, and I've been watching how he uses the media, I think it's fascinating, is he's been trying to use an earned media, they call it earned media or free media strategy nationwide. He hasn't reached into his own pocketbook much, even though he keeps saying he's going to do it. Obviously, he's not willing to take the big donors, and he's running on that. And so he's running a strategy. I've noticed it's more with broadcast media than print. You see him very rarely talking to print reporters. Now and then he'll talk to Maureen Dowd or something. He uses a broadcast, especially broadcast television, cable television strategy, and he uses social media. Now, I was at the UWM town hall where Trump was speaking to Greta Van Susteren and covering it, you know, for my news columns. And he talked about tweeting, and he said that it's like he owns the New York Times without the profit losses because he's got 7 million Twitter followers and all millions on Facebook and so forth. And he uses social media, Twitter in particular, to put out these outrage statements, which seem to me in some ways designed to dominate the news cycle. So they cover him, and he's all we talk about. And that's actually worked for him. It worked for him, however, before Rubio dropped out, which allowed the field to narrow. And, you know, obviously that hurt Trump, too, because more of the opposition consolidated around Cruz. And it worked until he came to Wisconsin, which is a smaller state. You know, it's not like New York. It's not like California. And he got hit from sort of all sides with a unified opposition rallying around one candidate, which I would also say conservatives, including talk radio, in Wisconsin are very used to doing because they sort of cut their teeth with that, with the Walker recall movement and Act 10 and all of that.
Let me take a call from Gordon in Wisconsin Rapids. Hello, Gordon. Gordon, are you there? Well, that's too bad.
We lost Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon had a good comment. Let's instead go to Jean in Eau Claire. Hello, Jean.
Good morning. I'm so thankful that you have this on your show. I've been following this for the last approximately 6 years. My background's psychology. I listened to I used to live in a different area, and then I started to listen to radio. A lot of people do in my area. I live in a, kind of a rural area, and there's a lot of rural area, and the station goes a long way. Anyway, I thought, you know, this is interesting to me because I noticed that in the morning there's different themes, like when they were passing right to work or different, you know, laws like this. And there was a framing technique used, associating, you know, what was going on in our state, either in a positive way or a negative way. They utilized it with Mary Burke, as a matter of fact, when she was running for office. One of the big things was, what do we know about Mary Burke? And then they bring up a lot of negative things that I never heard of before. And different people, they were organized when they'd call and bring up different aspects of a subject, usually negative. The day before the election, they called in and they said, what do we know about Mary Burke? She was fired by her father.
Yeah. So, Jean, you're seeing these as ads on TV and stuff, right?
No. This is talk radio, and they're organized. There's callers that call in every single morning as people are going to work. And initially, they all supported Trump. Oh, Trump is great. He's going to do this and that. Okay, toward the end now, just before the election, they started calling in and say, what do we know about Trump? And they bring up, I don't think he has experience to handle it.
Go ahead, Jessica.
And I actually think Trump won. I think Trump lost Eau Claire, actually. And it was the one little pocket there. And, you know, but the rural areas of Wisconsin, where maybe that doesn't reach, and the talk radio is not as strong as it is in the Wild Counties. You don't have all of them at once.
Yeah.
You don't have the power of Sykes, who's kind of a folk hero on the right, to be honest, in some base activist circles. And in La Crosse and everything, you didn't see that as strong. you know, maybe there's an element of it, you don't see it as strong. I wanted to read you a quote that Right Wisconsin, Charlie Sykes' website, said yesterday about the Wisconsin Alliance for Reform, which is one of these dark money groups where no one knows who's running it. And they spent heavily in the state Supreme Court race. And so they were talking basically about also just these super PACs that came in and put all this money in the state, and obviously, you know, behind Cruz too. And they said they were winners of the election because, quote, election night winner conservatives know they can't depend on the media, so these groups work to educate voters, end quote. I thought that was astonishing. Now, although not surprising, what your caller's noticing is this, is so what they're saying is educating voters are basically attack ads that mm-hmm. are distorting public perception about one candidate or the other. It's a binary sort of approach. It's they're bad, they're good, they're evil, they're great, vote for him, hate on her, you know, everyone's all terrible or all good. They've decided they put Trump, the presumptive Republican front runner, in the category of all evil, which is what's most unusual about this. But attack ads are not the same thing as media.
Yeah.
But to the listeners of talk radio, you know, attack ads and talk radio, who kind of are using the same tactic, I hate to say, have these sort of become media. And one thing talk radio does is try to sort of trash the credibility of so-called mainstream media, like the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, sort of relentlessly in the minds of its listeners who have come to believe these are liberal sites who can't be trusted. So
yeah.
It's about breaking down that trust.
Jessica,
too.
We have Tony Palmieri, our next commentator, standing by, and he's going to say that, yes, conservative talk show hosts in Wisconsin had a big influence in the primary, but he doesn't expect them to have much of an effect in November's general election. Do you agree, or what do you think?
I think they will have an effect, but it will be less of an effect, definitely, because you have to go back to my point that it was a Republican primary. Scott Walker is still popular among Republicans, but what about independents? That's where they've lost ground. Walker's lost ground there. The conservative sort of movement in Wisconsin has lost ground, and I don't think you can win a lot of statewide elections, or all statewide elections, if you lose independence big. However, the sort of the red flag for the left and for, you know, going against what he's about to say is look at the Bradley race. So that's a statewide race, and they picked a horse, and their horse won. But I think I might attribute that more to the big money, dark money spending that went on in the Bradley race than to talk radio, although they played a part.
Well, thanks very much for being with us, Jessica.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Jessica McBride, senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com, talking with us about conservative talk radio's role in Wisconsin's election this week. Now we turn to Tony Palmieri, who is a communications professor at UW-Oshkosh and media columnist for the Fox Valley Scene. He's also a regular contributor to our Friday Week in Review programs. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So how do you think conservative talk radio played a role? What kind of role did it play in the Republican presidential primary?
A fairly powerful role, especially in those hotbeds of conservatism in the state, the counties outside of Milwaukee, the so-called WOW counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington. Those the radio hosts in those areas, the Charlie Sykes, the Mark Bellings, and several others in that part of the state, and Jerry Bader up in Green Bay, took an immediate dislike to Trump. But Charlie Sykes, I believe, had said, I think in that New York Times article, that Trump represented an existential threat to the conservative movement. So the right-wing radio in Wisconsin, I think, saw this as self-preservation in a way.
Yeah, so why do you think, Tony, that these talk show hosts in the WOW counties can win an election for somebody?
Well, we've seen that they've done it with Scott Walker. They've been a tremendous assistance to him. I mean, they have quite a large reach. The daily audience is quite large. And they provide a way of looking at the world that has been very consistent with the Republican Party. I mean, these are partisan radio hosts. They're not objective. They're not independent. They're certainly not civil. I mean, that has been one of the great ironies here, that somehow these radio hosts have gotten credit for calling out Trump on his lack of civility. And yet, I'm sure most of your listeners will agree, Joy, there's nothing less civil than right-wing talk radio in the state of Wisconsin. So they reach a large audience, and I think that in this particular primary, their framing of the race appealed to Republican Party voters. I mean, let's face it, Governor Scott Walker has had a very high approval rating among the Republican base. Donald Trump has called out Scott Walker as incompetent and as a failed governor. And the right-wing radio, which has carried water for Walker for many years now, came to his defense. And I think that's what this was all about.
Yeah, our previous guest suggested that that there should be a conservative host in the northwestern part of the state, or at least that's the only area of the state where there really isn't the reach of these conservative talk show hosts. And that is the area, the Northwoods, is where Trump won.
Yeah, exactly. And also in the parts of the state where Trump did well, you have people that are perhaps less formally educated. And around the country, people with less education, working class people, have been going for Trump. And I think this really scares right-wing talk radio. I mean, Charlie Sykes, the ringleader of right-wing talk radio in Wisconsin, wrote a book called A Nation of Moochers, which was very similar to the Mitt Romney claim of 4 years ago that 47% of Americans are mooching off the government. And this really exposes a break in the Republican Party. I mean, quite a few of these so-called moochers are white, working-class people, low-income. Trump has appealed to these people. Trump went into Janesville and criticized Paul Ryan, and he got a lot of cheers for doing it. Well, Paul Ryan has an open invitation to these right-wing talk radio shows. Yeah. They've been carrying, again, water for Ryan and Walker for many years.
Here, Gary on Facebook says, I don't know about any anti-Trump radio talk show hosts since we don't get them here in northern Wisconsin, Trump country, but I'm pretty sure that the entire Republican Party of Wisconsin did everything they could to sabotage Trump since they still blame him for Walker's poor showing in his brief presidential campaign. I am thinking that Trump will do better in states that he didn't totally embarrass their governor.
I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true. I mean, let's face it, the Republican Party this year is faced with two deeply flawed candidates, as likely nominees, Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. Can any one of those candidates realistically win the state of Wisconsin in November? I doubt it. And yet, it's looking like talk radio in Wisconsin would rather, the phrase I'm hearing lately is lose with Cruz, because Donald Trump probably would have a better shot in Wisconsin, given that he does have some appeal to independent, working class, white voters, people who might traditionally go Democrat, the so-called Reagan Democrats. Ted Cruz has very, very limited appeal outside of the core Republican-based voters. In fact, if Ted Cruz were the Republican nominee, I think that they are looking at kind of Goldwater 64 numbers, an out-and-out disaster for the Republican Party. And right-wing radio in Wisconsin would have been one of the reasons let's face it, Wisconsin was the firewall for the Stop Trump movement.
Well, here's Jane on Facebook, and we just have a minute before newscast. I really wish the media would give the public a little bit more credit. Some of us do have enough intelligence. We are capable of making up our own minds about what type of person we would vote for without the assistance of hateful right-wing radio talking heads.
That's true. A lot of people are. And I think that's one of the things that has bothered conservative or right-wing radio about Trump. I mean, he has come out in opposition to some core Republican talking points. The Republicans have largely been in favor, like the conservative Republican radio shows, of things like the free trade deals. Trump has come out against them. The Club for Growth and these other dark money forces, the Koch brothers and all that, that have been very supportive and very popular on these right-wing radio shows, Trump has been at war with them. And I think that a lot of the Republicans are bothered that, as your caller says, or as your Facebook poster says, people are using their own minds independently and voting for who they see fit.
We are talking with Tony Palmieri, a communications professor at UW Oshkosh, a media columnist for the Fox Valley Scene, a regular contributor to our Friday Week in Review programs, about media coverage of Wisconsin's election and the role in particular that conservative talk radio played in the outcome. Was conservative talk radio responsible for Ted Cruz's victory in Wisconsin's Republican presidential primary? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is On the Campaign Trail on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with media observer about the media's role in Wisconsin's election this week. A lot of people are crediting conservative talk radio as playing a significant role, especially in the victory of Ted Cruz. And we are talking about this and more with Tony Palmieri, a communications professor at UW Oshkosh and media columnist for the Fox Valley Scene. He's also a regular contributor to our Friday Week in Review programs. You know, Tony, we said we're going to talk to you mainly about conservative talk radio's influence on the primary results. Who was responsible for Bernie Sanders' victory in the Democratic primary?
I think Sanders simply had much more of a grassroots network in the state. I mean, his reach among young people as a college teacher, I've seen this on my campus. There are many, many more young people talking about Bernie Sanders than about Hillary Clinton. I think they had a much more successful get-out-the-vote effort than the Clinton forces did. I don't think that Clinton gave up on Wisconsin, but I would say just as a citizen, I got something like 4 or 5 pieces of mail from the Bernie Sanders campaign at my home.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters think that the media are treating him unfairly. That that the media have already crowned Hillary Clinton the Democratic nominee, and so they feel that media coverage has been against Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely true. It seems like the more races he wins, the more the national media frame is that he has no chance to win. You know, what does a candidate have to do to be taken seriously? And, you know, the real issue in that Democratic Party race, of course, is with the superdelegates, that, you know, it's looking like that Sanders and Clinton are going to be very, very close on the delegates coming out of the primaries and the caucuses, but what is really swinging it in the favor of Hillary Clinton are the so-called superdelegates, of which she has a massive, massive lead. And I would like to see the national media especially spend a little bit more time on that issue.
Let's go back to the phones. Jim in Menominee is with us now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate listening to your guest this morning. I'd like to understand what data they really have to conclude that the right-wing radio has convinced people to vote, when in reality, people like me voted for Cruz from Cruz's message, but yet then turn around and say people voted for Sanders because of his grassroots effort. It's just one more example where Wisconsin Public Radio is serving the left-hand side of the media spectrum. Can you respond?
I'm not going to respond necessarily to that, Tony might, but we had Jessica McBride on, who is a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman, also saying that conservative talk radio played a role in Cruz's victory, not just Tony Palmieri thinking this could be. But what about that, Tony, in that maybe people voted for Cruz because Cruz was the better candidate? Why are you saying that talk radio had anything to do with it?
Jim, well, let me just say, Jim is correct. The Cruz campaign did have a much, much better ground game, grassroots effort than the Trump campaign. I mean, that's been true in many states. But it's also a fact that Trump has been winning the majority of primaries in most states. Most of those states do not have the kind of right-wing talk show radio network that Wisconsin has. I mean, that's just simply a fact. And I think even the national Republican establishment identified Wisconsin as the firewall. It was the place where either Cruz or Kasich had to stop Trump. And the right-wing radio in Wisconsin listened to that call from the National Republican Party, and they went full force, and they succeeded. Again, especially in those counties outside of Milwaukee where there's a lot of votes, and it went substantially for Trump.
Yeah, I'm gonna. We have two other callers. We have two other callers who want to, turn the tables here. And John in Minneapolis is with us next. Hello, John.
Hi. Good morning. I just want to say is that I think that it's more fair and balanced that they have the candidates like a conservative talk show, and then you know that they have them come on. And I think they offer the Democratic candidates to come on, but a lot of them don't want to go on there because I think the media's got them in their
don't want to go on here. Where, John?
On the talk radio.
What talk radio? So
a conservative talk radio. They don't want to go on because they are going to be asked hard questions where the media would not go there. You know, this I guess what you call is the media the.
Well, I'm not sure. I thought John wanted to. John was going to bash WPR for promoting liberal Democrats as well. But maybe he's saying conservative talk radio would interview the Democratic candidates too, but they're afraid to come on or they don't want to.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't even know that they were invited on those programs. That would be news to me.
Yeah. They were invited. Yes.
Oh, okay. My understanding has been that those shows pretty much hold up liberals, Democrats as kind of like straw men that they kind of beat up. If they, in fact, do invite them on, that's wonderful, and I would urge those candidates to go on. You know, I actually do think that the Wisconsin public radio model, which I have criticisms of, but it's much, much more civil. I mean, I think that your show, Joy, and other shows on WPR, you invite on the candidates from both major parties.
Always.
You allow them to speak on in their own voice. And you allow callers like John from various political perspectives to state their views. That, to me, is a model of civility. That is the exact opposite of what we get from the conservative talk radio in Wisconsin, which is the not civility at all.
But and one of the issues that happened in the primary is that one of the conservative talk show hosts in Milwaukee, Charlie Sykes, did interview Donald Trump, and it was pointed to as a not very good moment for Donald Trump because Charlie Sykes went after him.
Yeah, and it was not. And but again, why did Charlie Sykes go after Trump? I mean, Trump has taken views that run counter to the establishment Republican orthodoxy. I mean, let's face it, Trump has come out and has said that former President Bush should have faced impeachment for the Iraq War. I mean, many of these talk radio hosts spent years trying to persuade the public that the Iraq War was necessary, that what Bush was doing was maybe it didn't work, but it was well-intentioned. So Trump has just gone... He's flown in the face of traditional Republican orthodoxy of the last 10 years. They, as Charlie Sykes says, they see Trump as an existential threat to the conservative movement, which he is, and that's why they need to defeat him.
Yeah. And let me also say that we did invite the presidential candidates to join this show and Wisconsin Public Radio. I believe all of the candidates themselves turned down that invitation, but did supply a Wisconsin surrogate or a campaign spokesperson to be on with us. And we did invite everyone, not just Democrats, but everyone. And we do have an ongoing invitation to Governor Walker to join us on this program. He most often cites a schedule conflict, and we have not had him on, even though we repeatedly invite him. Syed in Green Bay is next. Hello.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call, Joy. From your preamble, I guess are anticipating that I'm calling to bash Wisconsin Public Radio. I assure you that's not the case. I'm a great, long-time listener and love your radio programming, but I'm calling to make the argument that talk radio, whether it's conservative or liberal, are a great medium for democratic debate. But what I particularly dislike is that your guests' discussion sounds very much like the vast right-wing conspiracy business. There is no vast right-wing conspiracy in talk radio. What Charlie Seitz did is what any journalist should have done. What I was frustrated by the fact that mainstream journalism was not exposing Donald Trump for who he is. He is a very easy candidate to deconstruct because he knows nothing about anything. Yet he had gotten this far without a very there was an editorial in the New York Times that said the media have become Donald Trump's lapdog rather than his watchdog. And Charlie Sykes was the guy who broke it. Now, and you need to give more credit to conservative voters that were not just sitting here being brainwashed by talk radio.
Thank you very much, Syed. And you're right, you didn't, you weren't bashing Wisconsin Public Radio. Tony?
I do not think that conservative talk radio in Wisconsin are forums for debate. Generally, the model that they use is to hold up straw men that they just beat up. I mean, this model kind of started with Rush Limbaugh in the late 80s and early 90s, and it has gone throughout the country. These shows are very, very one-sided. I do agree with Syed that what Sykes did with Trump was very important and very necessary, like Chris Matthews on MSNBC did the same thing. More TV and radio hosts need to confront Trump in that matter. But typically what happens on right-wing radio is that they're very one-sided. They're very hostile to anyone who disagrees. Again, Sykes and others were complimented for calling out Trump on civility or for his lack of civility. This was the greatest irony that I've ever heard. Conservative right-wing radio in Wisconsin are the least civil media in the state. They regularly bash people that they disagree with, do not invite them on to state their point of view, and basically take cheap shots. That, to me, is not an ethical way of conducting a media operation. But we're living in a market economy. That model works for them. But I do agree also, though, that voters are smart enough to make their own decision as to who to vote for.
Tony, we have just a minute left. You told producer Bill Martins that you don't anticipate that the conservative hosts will have the same effect in the general election in November. Why not?
Wisconsin has not gone for a Republican in a presidential election, I believe, since Reagan in 84. And this year, if it is Cruz or Trump, they've got two deeply, deeply flawed candidates that I just can't see at this point winning the state of Wisconsin.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again on the Week in Review.
Thank you so much, Joy. Bye-bye.
Tony Palmieri, communications professor at UW Oshkosh, media columnist for the Fox Valley Scene. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Brianne Chasseau for on-air direction and to Elizabeth Delaquest for on-air production. Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk with the author of The Way We Never Were, about American families. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.